Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Podcast of Honor here on pwponderings.com. We have a lot of Ring of Honor news to get to since the last time we talked. Of course, I'm Chris GST. I'm the web admin, joined as always by Ari Berenstein. Ari, how are you doing, sir?
Lean and mean. Well, really not so lean and not so mean, but that's how we're going to keep it today.
Of course. Of course. And Chris Micchio as well. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm here. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's get to the show.
Let's get to this. So two events have happened since last time we talked. The Reloaded Tour on August 29th in Norcross, Georgia. I believe we recorded like on the day of, so we didn't have the results up yet. But it seemed like a really fun show. Cedric Alexander defeated Corey Hollis. The Kingdom defeated Watanabe and Will Ferrara. War Machine defeated ACH and Matt Sydal. Michael Elgin defeated Adam Page by countout. Mark Briscoe defeated the Romantic Touch. He was unable to face Briscoe back then due to the medical emergency, which we'll get into. Roderick Strong defeated Caprice Coleman. Moose and Jay Briscoe went to no contest. When Cedric Alexander, he interfered. And then Adam Page hit the ring, which caused a tag team match to be created. Moose and Jay Briscoe defeated Cedric Alexander and Adam Page. And then Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole defeated the Ring of Honor World and Television Champion Jay Lethal and the Tag Champions Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. A pretty good show. I wouldn't say anything too noteworthy other than, you know, a little bit of storyline continuity, you know, and I guess they're kind of still saving Moose and Jay Briscoe for another time. So, guys, did you have any quick thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was impressed, and I still remain impressed. They drew a great crowd the first time they were in Atlanta, and apparently they drew well here again. And for shows that are not, you know, the A-plus cream of the crop Ring of Honor shows, but they still do well because they have a combination of, some of the local talent and some of, Moose is pretty big over in that territory, and they have a pretty passionate collection of Ring of Honor fans who are in that area, so I think it's a great thing. To be honest, I think maybe ROH should consider running a pay-per-view in that area at some point in the next year, and I think that's just to reward how great these crowds have been the last two times they run. And also just want to give kudos for them putting the VOD up right away, very quickly. They've been doing the VODs pretty fast. So, and the main event is, you know, was it's like sort of a champions versus all-stars without calling it champions versus all-stars, you know, champions versus challengers, if you will. So, you know, I'm sure for what ROH wants to do, which is to keep, you know, on these Reloaded shows, building and building and building to All-Star Extravaganza, where Bobby Fish and Jay Lethal and then Kyle O'Reilly and Jay Lethal go at it. You have those pieces in place when you put them in the main events spots. And you team them up with, you know, Daniels and Kazarian. Those are pretty good combinations. You're going to get good action.
Micchio, any thoughts?
No, I already pretty much touched on everything. You know, Atlanta has always been a major city in the wrestling world, so it shouldn't. I don't think it really should surprise anybody that ROH is going to do so well when they get down there. Didn't they actually run pay per views out of Atlanta a few years back?
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah, Honor Takes Center Stage or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, right, so over high pay per views.
Right, they had some really enthusiastic crowds from those shows, if memory serves. So it's like it's really heartening to see that a city that maybe they don't run as as regularly as Baltimore or Philly or New York or Chicago, places like that, are really kind of catching on with the whole idea of the ROH show and the ROH talent. So it is a really positive sign, like you said, Ari. I haven't had a chance to watch the show yet. Like you said, it was just put up on VOD, but the next chance I get to watch it, I'm definitely going to jump on this, and I'm really interested to see that main event. Like you said, the whole idea of the champions versus contenders or versus challengers type match is always fun, and seeing the dynamic between Fish and O'Reilly and Cole, to see how they're going to develop with that. I'm really interested to see where they're going from here with that. So it sounds like a pretty fun show, and I'm definitely going to check it out as soon as I can.
We also had a Reloaded Tour show last night. As of this recording, September 11th, we should have the September 12th results up on the website by the time you're listening to this, maybe. As of last night in Dearborn, there was a pre-show match. There's apparently a talent called Father Time. Apparently, he's legally blind. He's not actually blind, but, you know, pretty old. And he defeated Owens Travers by a master lock, and I guess the Travers passed out. So I don't know why that match happened, but apparently it was probably something fun for the local crowd. Bobby Fish defeated Will Ferrara. Moose defeated Samson Walker with a spear. Samson Walker is still working. That's pretty fun to hear. Kyle O'Reilly defeated Silas Young with an armbar, said to be a pretty good match. Roderick Strong defeated Adam Cole with the end of Heartache. So keeping Strong, no pun intended, Strong going forward. But also, you know, Adam Cole kind of still on his storyline of maybe he's not getting the big wins. Jay Briscoe defeated Watanabe with the Jay Driller. Matt Sydal defeated ACH in their I believe, the first of the series of five matches. The four-way elimination match. So the Ring of Honor World and Television Champion Jay Lethal, he ultimately defeated Cedric Alexander, Dalton Castle, and Mark Briscoe. Interestingly enough, it was Cedric Alexander, Mark Briscoe, and Dalton Castle eliminated last. So, guys, I mean, clearly Castle is on the ascension still, kind of building him up. I mean, even in the loss, though, he loses, well, to the double champion. So, and then in the No Rules match, which, Ari, I'll talk to you about kind of explaining what happened, but it was a different main event than was originally scheduled. The Young Bucks defeated the Red Dragon, and then apparently the Kingdom, because of they showed up late or whatever, I believe it was like due to weather problems, whatever, they showed up after the match, attacked Red Dragon, and then the Young Bucks super kicked the Kingdom. And this kind of follows up the story, you know, what we're getting at the pay-per-view and also what happened on TV on Wednesday. So Ari, yeah, I guess you can kind of go into that. And any thoughts overall about the show?
Yeah, I mean, apparently, you know, if you look at Mike Bennett's Twitter, he really details the sort of nightmare travel itinerary, you know, a flight that they missed, and no flights were available to Detroit or surrounding areas. They caught several other, you know, another flight and had to travel. Matt Taven had some nightmare problems with luggage and then renting a rental car. So basically they didn't get to the building until the end of the show. They threw everything down and they went to the ring and they did the last sort of segment with the Young Bucks. And there's also the ROH post show that they do with usually Kevin Kelly and King Corino, Steve Corino. They host it. I think this one was with Stokely Hathaway. Bennett and Taven, they cut a little bit of a promo, and Bennett is like just so desperate and talking about the Bucks there. So the show ends with the Bucks super kicking the Kingdom out there to sort of send the fans home happy. So, you know, obviously it's not great that, you know, Bennett and Taven have to go through all that. And but, you know, you can throw in the Young Bucks and Red Dragon, and that's just going to be a hell of a main event anywhere. So a bit of an impromptu, different main event than the people in Dearborn were expecting. And as far as the rest of the show, you know, seems pretty good. You know, what continues to surprise me is that Cole is losing a lot of the matches and that he's wrestling. You know, his win-loss percentage is not as good as it should be for someone of his importance, I think. But maybe that goes in line to whatever next steps they're going to be doing with the relationship and the storyline they have with him and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. I guess I think that's pretty much all that sort of sticks out to me. I mean, I know you mentioned this Father Time thing, but that was just like a pre-show thing, whatever that is, a local thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that kind of thing on the pre-show. And then the other major thing, one more thing, is the Dalton Castle. I guess that means that he's locked out of a TV title shot as long as Lethal is champion. And I think that's very interesting because Dalton Castle is definitely one of the most over wrestlers in ROH right now, and probably should be one of the leading contenders to be the next TV champion. So it sort of puts him away from that division for now, and maybe gives him more time to develop in this feud of Silas Young before, you know, whoever dethrones Jay Lethal for the TV title, maybe then it's Dalton Castle's time to challenge.
I was going to say it could possibly signal a title change, but we'll see. Mikio, your boy, Cole, man, not doing well. What's going on?
As Ari said, his win-loss record lately has been atrocious. It makes you wonder what they're, you know, where they're going with this. It really does. It's if you, you know, when he left, he was on such a high and he'd been, you know, more or less carrying, you know, carrying the product on his back, and then he gets hurt and he goes away, and now he comes back, and it's like really, you want to put this guy in situations where he's losing like every big match he has? In a lot of ways, it doesn't make a lot of sense, unless of course, you know, they you know, you see him hit, they're going for the storyline with him hitting rock bottom and then realizing that, you know, he has to do what he used to do in order to get what he needs out of ROH, and maybe it turns him back full-time heel. Maybe he realizes that being a babyface is not, you know, going to help him get where he needs to be. You know, and then maybe it sets off a feud between him and O'Reilly that we can run for a while. Obviously, I think we'd all love to watch those two guys go at it again. Every time that they have, they've always kind of like, you know, lit the arena on fire, whether it be in ROH or, you know, other promotions like PWG. So the future with that is great, but it, you know, at some point or another, he's going to have to start getting some more wins under his belt for people to continue to take him seriously as a legit, you know, top of the card kind of guy. I know we all realize that this is, you know, it's not like professional sports where the wins and losses, you know, are more organic. But at the same time, you know, if fans keep seeing the same guy losing every time he's in a match that has any type of, you know, major implications or ramifications down the line, it's like, why would you ever think he's going to win? So it's a tenuous, you know, line that they walk right now with Cole. And I think they really do need to kind of reevaluate and maybe give him that big, you know, give him some sort of big win in the near future so that he doesn't lose his relevancy to the promotion. I mean, maybe I'm looking at it in a way too dire of a way, but I really think that you can only have a guy lose so many matches before people stop caring. And I think that
they're go back to. Yeah, go ahead, Mikio. Sorry.
No, I just think they're getting really close to the point where it's it makes it almost too much. It really does.
I think when you go back to the Field of Honor weekend, he lost to Nakamura, beat Daniels, but on TV he hasn't been as strong. It's sort of been that 50-50, you know, win loss going on.
And it's been more like, you know, 33-66. He's been losing like two-thirds of his matches he's been dropping lately.
Right. I do wonder, you know, because, again, there's this, you know, the Red Dragon and Adam Cole relationship, you know, that they're trying to do, this storyline that they've set out for the last few months. And it's to me, it's always been like, you know, because Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole were Future Shock, as most people know, a tag team in Ring of Honor. And, you know, how does Bobby Fish feel about this? You know, right now they're... Both Fish and Lethal are being positioned in singles title matches. But after that, let's say, you know, what comes next? So is it, you know, is Bobby Fish okay with Kyle O'Reilly continuing the team with Cole? Or is there some sort of dissension there or tension? Does Adam Cole sort of change his tune on that? I mean, there's definitely options and storyline directions they can go with that and head towards some sort of big match at Final Battle. But, you know, it remains to be seen, and I just hope that, you know, whatever direction they choose to go to, that it's something that sort of takes advantage of all the guys. And, you know, for me, for my money, Kyle O'Reilly should be, you know, the next Ring of Honor World Champion. So if they eventually go in the direction of O'Reilly versus Cole title match, with O'Reilly as champion and Cole trying to get the belt, I mean, that would be very cool.
Yeah, I mean, he lost to Roderick Strong, so clearly they're trying to keep him, you know, pretty in the title picture going forward, especially after this last TV, which we're going to talk about. But yeah, I see what you're saying, Mikio, and that at some point the guy has to get a win, and I mean, that's going to be worked in. I mean, they did just announce that it'll be Cole, Elgin, Strong, and Styles in the number one contenders match for the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view, and that is kind of interesting considering that Cole just lost. But at least they're still keeping him in that discussion. It's not like he's moved down the card.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Like, it was kind of weird when I saw that he faced Dalton Castle on that TV show. And I was like, okay, that's a fun match. But why is he facing Dalton Castle? Like, that's not
even his level. The thing is, you know, being in the mix is different than being a guy that the fans are going to look at and say, he has a real shot to win this match. When you've been losing all those other matches against the same guys, it kind of diminishes their interest in or the fans, you know, suspension of belief that you have a shot to win. And you don't want that. You want everybody to look strong on a certain level. And having him go the route he's going, I mean, unless they're going with the whole idea that he's losing these matches and eventually he's just going to snap, I mean, unless that's their direction, I just don't really think it's the right way to go.
On the other hand, I just don't feel like that's happened yet, where the fans have like turned on Cole and over the
not turn on him. I'm not talking about.
I think they're still very much. He's still very much over with them.
Over is different than having the anticipation that he's going to win every time he gets in the ring.
Right. Well, and then just going back to what GST mentioned, the Dalton Castle match. I mean, at the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, that was a great match for Dalton Castle, because it's a step up on the depth chart, but it was also a good win for Cole because it's someone who he could give a lot to and then get over him in the end. So, yeah, I mean, he's getting over on guys at a certain level, and then he's losing to some of the some of the top position guys right now. And it's interesting because Cole, before he was injured, was the top guy in Ring of Honor as the champion.
Right, that's what I said. I mean, it's a weird juxtaposition of where he is now with where he was – 9 months ago.
Sure.
So yeah, no. I mean, again, I we haven't seen the match. We don't know what to expect from it, but I'm assuming it was a pretty great match. So, speaking of though, like we said, we want to talk about the latest TV show, the Championship Edition. In terms of viewership, it drew 138 viewers, according to ProWrestling.net. The number was down from the week previously of 144,000, and this is just again another trend of a lower viewership since they started on Destination America. And, Ari, you kind of wanted to touch on this. Mikko, you haven't been able to see the episode yet, but obviously you know the result. So
yeah.
And I'm assuming you suspect both matches were really great, and I enjoyed both of them.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect anything less from the guys who were involved in those matches. Now, the one thing, though, about the ratings, I think we all have to kind of take as a, take with a grain of salt, is the fact that, the ratings have steadily decreased since the show went from an 8 o'clock time slot to an 11 o'clock time slot. The majority of ROH fans are East Coast-based. You have to say that because that's where they run most of their shows. I don't know that most ROH fans are going to want to stay up until 11 o'clock to watch an hour of wrestling on a weekday. It's, you put a show in a time slot like that, and it's almost like you're setting it up to fail. The reality is we don't know how many people DVR'd that show and will watch it at a later date, because that information is just not available to us just yet. So I think, since they've moved the show from 8 o'clock to 11, it's hard to make a firm statement about what it really means, because we don't really have the full impact of how many people are truly watching it in the long run. But putting it,
well, we do for the weeks previous to this, because you get the DVR numbers 7 days out, so that'll end up being the total viewership.
Right, but the whole thing here is like putting that show on at 11 o'clock is not, it was doing much better at 8, and then it was like, oh, let's go back to Bigfoot shows, and I like Bigfoot shows. Don't get me wrong, I do like the Bigfoot shows. There's something weirdly entertaining about them, but. I can watch it. I don't really care when a Bigfoot show is on, because I can just tape it and watch it whenever. But if ROH was still on at 8 o'clock, I know I'd be in front of my TV at 8 o'clock. And I know a lot of other ROH fans who have to get up and go to work early in the morning the next day would probably be sitting in front of their TV at 8 o'clock at night on a Wednesday watching it too.
Well,
sure.
Go ahead, Ari.
Thanks, man. And I can, to what Mikio is saying, I can appreciate that on a personal level, too, because Mikio and I were both teachers, and this is our first week back here in the New York City, getting back into the swing of things. And unfortunately, we work early morning jobs, and I'm not a morning person. So I find myself, I just crash at a certain point in time. And I knew, I was trying to stay up for the show at 11 p.m., and I just knew I wasn't going to make it, so I ended up catching a different, a stream of it somewhere, just searched for it, and it came up on Google, and that's how I watched it, a few days later. It's just tough. I think Mikio says a lot of interesting and probably correct things about the people on the East Coast, especially, when he says that, it's a time slot meant to fail. I don't know if that necessarily Destination America wants it to fail, but I do know that they're certainly not, helping Ring of Honor as much as they could, and for that matter, for TNA. They definitely run advertisements for TNA. They've never run advertisements for Ring of Honor. So I don't think they view it as important. I don't think they've treated it right ever as far as something that they can push viewership beyond the Ring of Honor fans who don't see the show on the Sinclair syndicated networks who want to catch up, and this is available to them to see it. So yeah, I mean, you definitely remember the beginning of the Destination America showing to, like, they would get between 230 to 300,000 total with the replay, and now they're about half that. You know, it's very sad. Obviously, I would want Ring of Honor to make a better showing through a cable station like this. But and again, at the end of the day, they do have the Sinclair syndicated network, so they have that to fall back on. But it's, you know, they should want to be doing more here. Destination America should have wanted to do more pushing them. You know, the DVR viewership numbers argument, I mean, Dixie Carter has always said, oh, look at the plus threes, the plus sevens. So I think that's very negligible. I don't think that's, you know, has to do much with adding on to the viewership overall. But I do think, like, there are ways that they could have added the viewership and they just didn't. And so looking at a show like this, the Championship Edition, which we can talk about the matches in a second, I mean, they've been sort of gearing towards this kind of show with two title matches, and it's been important and the quality of the matches, and yet for it to get such a disappointing number, it is a real disappointment, and I'm not sure it's a good sign for the future of Ring of Honor on Destination America.
It really, you know, with all the rumors and discussion going around about Destination America's relationship with TNA, it really makes you feel that Destination America doesn't want wrestling on their station anymore, and that they put ROH in the back burner as a casualty of the relationship with TNA, and they're just playing out the string. It's like a team that's, you know, at 500 and there's only like 15 games left in the year, and it's like you just look around and say, well, you know, we just got to play out the string because we can't just go home. That's really what it feels like to me, and it's unfortunate. Like you said, it's like they should have seen that when they ran those first few weeks at 8 o'clock that they were getting almost 300,000 viewers for it, and they should have looked at it and said, hey, wait a minute, we might have something here. In reality, what they did is they looked at it and said, oh, that's nice. Let's get, you know, that's not really the programming we're aiming for. It's a good fill-in for now. Let's get ready for the next season of,
Monsters United.
Yeah, like West Virginia, you know, West Virginia Mountain Monsters kind of thing. So, hey, but it is what
barbecue
it is.
Barbecue and big moonshine.
You know, we've gotten the opportunity to see it on a cable channel. That's great, whatever. But you know, it just seems to me that, you know, the days are numbered. And you know, thank God I have NESN on my cable system, so I can continue to watch, you know, ROH on my regular TV on Sunday nights.
Well,
a lot of us don't, and that's on. You know, the unfortunate thing is Ring of Honor has taken off a lot of its TV episodes because they're trying to upgrade their system. So in the meantime, if you miss the 11 p.m. showing and you don't have the same Sinclair syndicated network, you can't see the show unless you try to search for it online. If somebody else has posted it online on a YouTube or a Dailymotion, or you're SOL.
Well, it should be noted that during the 8 o'clock hour, yes, it was always the majority of the viewers except for two of the episodes. But, excuse me, but they hit the ceiling at about 185,000 viewers. That was their top. And then with the replay.
Thank you for providing the actual numbers to
us. No. But you were right in total viewership in terms of they did, for example, on that episode, it did 330, which was the largest viewership number. They did 185 on the original airing and 145 on the replay. Since they have moved to 8 o'clock, they got numbers 171, 151, 148, 145, 149, 144, 138 for this last episode. So it has been a general decline. But it wasn't like a lot of viewers were showing up at the 8 o'clock. Like the highest one was 185. And for the first initial like five episodes, it was above 150. But after that, it was 128, 80, which was a terrible number. And TNA did badly that week, too, so it was kind of weird. We don't know what happened there. And then the last episode that they had for two airings was 139 and then 126 for the replay. But, yeah, they've never gotten those numbers back up. And I do agree that switching over to 11 o'clock Eastern, that's rough. I And I agree that it kind of maybe shows where they stopped caring. And who's to say what the motivation is for that? We don't know. But clearly, they didn't feel that whatever they were paying for TNA worked out. And we still know what's going to happen with them. And then Ring of Honor, like you guys said, probably just collateral damage. So it's just going to happen. I mean, I don't think anyone had an expectation of Ring of Honor staying on past December. I mean, anyone that did, I think we've all said that was a little pie in the sky, but we were hoping that if the numbers grew, then sure, that would show that they should keep it. But they were never, if they never hit even 500,000, I didn't see them ever going past December. And they never did. They didn't even get past 400. In fact, they never got past 350.
I think a lot of us were excited. We're excited at the prospect of getting a show in an area that we hadn't for years had been able to see it. But it was also, I think it was more about the, ooh, look at this, all the rumors about TNA and them, you know, sort of having troubles with Destination America, and all of a sudden, look, Destination America's, you know, sort of buddying up with Ring of Honor and teaming up with them. And it was more what's Jerome's catchphrase as he goes, the palace intrigue?
Yes, the palace intrigue.
It was more about, like, yes, well, the intrigue was in the palace because it was more, it was all like, wow, what's going on here? But as a side effect, it was just great to see and to be able to see Ring of Honor without going to the extra step of booting it up on my computer and loading up the website and getting to the Watch Now screen. I mean, to have it right on the TV, just press a button and get there, that's pretty awesome. And so, I don't know what their expectations of making it past December. I think we all kind of saw, you know, it was a set of process. And you never know. Maybe they will be anyway. Maybe they, you know, but they... Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. They probably will.
Yeah, it really makes you sit back and wonder what the whole point of even putting the show on the network was if they really had no desire to keep going forward with it.
They got super excited because wrestling brings in high numbers and they wanted this channel to do well. But then they realized that they can't justify it because, unfortunately, we still live in a culture where wrestling doesn't get high ad ratings, even though they do really good numbers compared to everything else, it just doesn't happen. So, and that's the downfall of it. You can't sell.
Yeah, so Bigfoot in Shanghai. Karate fighters scores more.
Right? It scores more ads. I mean, it could have less viewers, but as long as people are willing to pay to put their ads on their TV, that's all that matters. I mean, look at Raw. Raw gets almost 4 million viewers every week, but because advertisers are like, I don't really want to put my money on that, I'm not going to pay to have my ads on their TV, they're not worth very much, which is kind of ridiculous, but that's just how the culture is.
Is the big issue
that
they're basically
getting this first deal?
Are they basically just saying that wrestling fans don't buy what they see in the advertisements that run on their shows?
Yes, because statistically, wrestling fans are unfortunately considered on the lower tier of annual house income, and that is true. You could probably disprove it on an outlier basis, but yeah, on the average household income is not as high as other products. Like I believe, what was it recently in the Observer, Dave noted that UFC fans I think have about $10,000 more annually, and that's what advertisers want to see. You could have, I mean, and it kind of does make business sense, Mikio. If would you rather have 100 people that have $100 and are willing to spend it, or would you rather have 200 people but only have $10 and are willing to spend it?
I understand.
So wrestling fans, unfortunately, and that hasn't changed. When that changes, then we'll have a stronger appeal to advertisers. But that hasn't happened yet.
It's amazing to think that, not necessarily in the sense for ROH, but in the sense for like WWE, is you that might be the case. But then you think about how much money WWE does charge for tickets to their live events, and you say to yourself, it's like, these people do obviously have money. It's not like, you know, it's not cheap by any stretch of the imagination to go to a WWE show. So it makes you think that maybe... I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the resistance to traditional advertising that a lot of young people have developed over the years. It's like
because that's not how they get their income. They base it off of statistics, and that just because fans have the money to go to a show doesn't mean that their annual income is more suddenly.
Yeah, but then,
it just means they're willing to spend it to go to WWE. That doesn't mean they're willing to spend it to buy a car. Or
How are they collecting this data, though? That's the question that I had.
That's the argument that the Nielsen ratings are kind of outdated, which there's definitely an argument for, though if you do get their emails and stuff, you're kind of seeing that they are slowly but surely increasing their technology, which is better, I guess. So.
Well, next time on Financial Podcast of Honor.
It's just the
buy three, get one free sale at the DVD stand.
Well, that's kind of indicative of that's why those sales kind of do so well, because wrestling fans are like, oh, look, there's a sale. We can get more for a little bit of money. Whereas, like with UFC fans, I mean, these fans are willing to spend lots of money. I mean, and hey, you know, like, people can say that price is a factor, but I think that was, and I mean, this has been something that I think anyone that takes just the average business course in college will know that price is not necessarily a huge factor, because, again, look at that Mayweather pay-per-view. I mean, God, $100 and the most bought pay-per-view ever in history. So when people want to see something, they're willing to spend. But that's different from the average audience discretionary income. And that's what advertisers look at. So, and unfortunately, wrestling fans just don't have it. Which I'm not saying that says anything good or bad about wrestling fans. It's just how it is. So you'd rather put your money on a show like NCIS, which may be a rerun, but maybe their audience skews to be have a little bit more discretionary income to spend. So that's where you'd focus your
money.
That also
plays
with the idea. And I watch too. What the hell?
How dare you, Ari? Really? You got to have some loyalty.
How dare you, GST?
let's be honest. That also plays into the idea with a show like that. We all know that the demographic information regarding people who watch CBS programming tends to skew older anyway.
That's true, too. Albeit, apparently, the average age
now
for WWE fans is like 40-something. So.
Is it really?
I think that's what Meltzer... It's up there. It's up there, yeah.
It's all the holdouts. Yeah, it's holdouts like us, right?
We're still fans. We're fans way back when, and we're still fans now. Not that we're 40.
Keeping the faith.
What's the definition of insanity?
Right.
Isn't it doing the same thing over and over again and waiting for a different result?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's us, I guess, huh?
Hey, man, NXT, revolutionary. There's going to be a women's match in the main event. Come on, that's progressive. It's happening.
So, GST, what did you think about the title matches at the Championship Edition?
I enjoyed both of them. The tag title match was really good. I thought it was just a really fun match, is what you would expect. And then the outcome, yeah, it led to there now being a three-way on the pay-per-view. So I thought that worked. The main title match, which I understand some people have some issues with, like, yeah, it's another interference thing. It's like, okay, on the surface, yeah, on paper, that sounds kind of bad. But if you watch the match and what the story they were telling, it made sense. And there are a lot of – are there other creative ways to keep Roderick Strong but have Jay Lethal win? Sure. But this wasn't one of the worst of them. This was on the upper end of decisions, and I thought it came out really well. So, Ari, what'd you think?
Oh, absolutely. With the title match, Strong versus Lethal for the ROH World title, the finish I thought was very clever in terms of protecting Strong, because Strong had really, you know, yes, the House of Truth were around ringside. When Jay Lethal now is in his title defenses, you know, it is part and parcel. You know, you're going to get Truth Martini out there. You're going to get, you know, Baby Batista out there, Jay Diesel, and you're going to get Donovan Dijak. And it's... And if you follow the TV results, another redhead has made their way into Ring of Honor. So, you know, for me, this title match, the finish to it was actually pretty clever, because Strong really looked, again, and we're going to use this pun for as long as we can get away with it. He looked strong by dealing with all the other outside interference, and then there was a little bit of sleight of hand with one of the title belts and then the other title belt. And I thought that finish was very smart, because Strong had really gotten a lot during the match. I thought the match was actually way better than the one-hour draw. And I know there's been a diversity of thoughts about the one-hour draw. Some people really loved it, called it a match of the year. Other people absolutely just thought that the fact that people saw that it was going to go an hour and sort of filling in the pockets with some of action with a lot of downtime really pulled it down for them. I was sort of in the middle of the road. But, you know, for... a TV title or TV match for a title, Without a time limit, you know they weren't going to go 60 minutes. They made this match, almost all killer, no filler, so to speak. This is basically if you took almost all the downtime from the 60 minute draw and took all that out and just kept all the action in it, this is what you would have. And I thought it was fantastic. They both have chemistry against each other, and Strong looked great. They had a nice rhythm going, and then the finish, obviously. You have a decisive finish with G Lethal going over, getting into the next title matches with Fish and O'Reilly. But at the same time, Strong got a really good push. I also thought that the tag title match was really, really good. The Kingdom getting involved got a little bit chaotic, but they didn't really get involved directly. It was, the Young Bucks made a decision to do the moonsault over onto them before Maria decided to get involved. So they were more, it was more of a provocation and response, yes, of course, if you're going to put wrestlers on the outside, then the thought is, oh, they'll get involved in some way. But, you could also say the Young Bucks in the story of the match sort of asked for it. And I liked it. The Young Bucks and the Addiction also, it's another team that has great chemistry. A year ago, they had a great sort of tag team match when both were faces. Or maybe the roles were reversed. The Addictions were definitely faces. The Young Bucks were still very over with the crowd. And it was like a superstar versus superstar attraction match, the sort of dream match. And I thought they did fantastic in that match. And I thought this was really good as well because it played off the last few weeks where the Addiction had been antagonizing them. And Saban got laid out early on with this double super kick. So he tried to get involved and he got thrown out. Super kick to make sure that he would not get involved in the rest of the match. The Young Bucks were so over. So for me, this was a very strong wrestling-centered edition of the show. And again, I'm disappointed that just the ratings don't show it. And then one further note, and I guess anybody else wants to bounce off this can bounce off it, but I thought the Philadelphia crowd was great. They were so loud. They got captured really well on the audio. They were very passionate for both matches, but especially Strong versus Lethal. I haven't heard the Philadelphia crowd that loud in quite a while. So to me, again, if you can find a way to catch this show, if you can Google search it, or if you have it on DVR and you haven't watched it yet or whatever, find a way to watch this show because it's definitely worth watching.
Agreed. And I know Mickey will probably watch it later, so we can get your thoughts on that. But yeah, so moving forward, we do have a huge show coming up, the pay-per-view. It's going to be live Friday, September 18th, All-Star Extravaganza 7. It's pretty amazing that, it's continued. This show, I can't say that it, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about this. Mickey, I'll go to you first on this. Does it feel like a pay-per-view caliber show to you?
I know what you mean. Yes, in the sense that there's going to be two title matches, two Jay Lethal title matches. Yes, in the sense that the tag team titles are on the line. Yes, in the sense that they have AJ Styles and the Young Bucks on the show. But I understand what you mean. As you sit and you kind of look at the card, you say to yourself, "Yeah, but." Now, as I'm looking at it a little bit deeper, you have maybe the blow-offs of two, TV feuds that have been going on for a while with the Cedric Alexander and Moose storyline, as well as the Castle and Silas Young storyline.
That's the match, man, for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like it at first, but the more you sit and actually consider that this is going to be the show that sends us into the lead, the run up to Final Battle. I think it does have. I think it is a pay per view quality show. I really do, and I'm just curious to see who they steps up to take the open challenge match against the Briscoes. Do you guys think it's going to be the Bucks? Is that the way you think it's going to go?
I don't really know why it would be the Bucks because they're in the tag title match, but sure, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute. I must be looking at the wrong year then. No, they're not.
What?
Okay, they just haven't updated it, of course.
Trust me. Ring of Honor website.
What? The ROH
really?
Wrestling website updated? Come on, dude.
But Ari, same question to you.
Yes, sir.
Does it feel like a pay-per-view?
You know, and again, I concur with that sort of the question and the response. You know, to me, you know, I love Kyle O'Reilly, and I, like I said before, he should probably be the next champion because of the connection he's got with the fans going on, and he's got the just the raw talent and actually refined talent. I mean, the guy can be that next big babyface champion for Ring of Honor, but the problem is, you know, I don't think he's been made to a larger audience just yet. You know, he did have a great 30-minute draw with Jay Lethal a couple months ago, and the hardcore ROH fans obviously love him. So I just think he may need a little bit more time in the spotlight. Now, the problem with this is, again, this is a connection show. This isn't, you know, the big shows for them nowadays, you know, is Final Battle is obviously the biggest show heading towards the end of the year. So this is sort of like the intermediary position between Best in the World and them. Last year's All-Star Extravaganza was great. I mean, it had the Red Dragon and Young Bucks tag team match, which is amazing, and the shocker of Elgin losing the title at that point. We had thought it was just beginning his run, and all the crazy stuff happened and all that. So really, this is a show, or the kind of show, a pay-per-view, you know, where on paper you look like, oh, this is just a connection show to get the final battle, but it might surprise you in the end. And I think the four-way match with Styles and Strong and Cole and Elgin, really, they added it at the last minute, although I'm pretty sure they've had that plan for a while. That last-minute addition really kind of cements, oh, this is a really good match. This could really help kind of firm things up and make it pay-per-view worthy. But really, yes, when you have AJ Styles on the show and you run like there's the 30-second advertisement they run, and he's not really mentioned until like the fourth or fifth name down, I think, and no offense to Moose, because I think we've all sort of turned the corner on Moose and seen how he's improved, but Moose gets mentioned before he does. And honestly, if you've got a show called All-Star Extravaganza, for me, you lead with your ROH champion, your ROH tag team champions, and then the all-stars of the indie scene. AJ Styles and Young Bucks in the advertisement. You don't have to put them in placement in the match, but if you're running advertisements, then you should make them more visible. So I would have advertised that four-way number one contendership match way earlier than they did now, because that's an exciting match. You've got Styles is at the top of his game. Strong is at the top of his game. Cole is super popular and close to the top of his game after coming back from injury. And Elgin also, after being in Japan, is like, this guy is super, super great in the ring. And, you know, that match just sort of like sings to you. So just to wind it all up together, because I promise I'd be lean and mean for the show. On the surface, it doesn't appear to be pay-per-view worthy. But when you sort of dig deeper, you see that, yes, there's a lot of stuff here that, you know, you should be wanting to pay money for, or at least wanting to see.
And I do, obviously. I do find it kind of funny that I believe it was like a semi-recent Tanahashi interview. He did mention that his match with Elgin in Ring of Honor wasn't quite up to snuff, and that he was happy to see that Elgin really did show what he could do in New Japan. So, and they're probably
yes, that was Elgin pre-NJPW.
Exactly. It's
like, you know, I don't know.
Hey man, that confidence, once you have it, that's
yeah. Momentum. He emerged from New Japan, and I think he's got it. Whatever it is that he had before and had somehow lost, I think it's back. I just think a lot of the fans in America have yet to kind of catch up with that fact. And maybe a strong showing on this show will help convince people here in North America that you know he's definitely got it back.
Well, let's talk about this pay-per-view. It's going to take place Friday, September 18th. And most likely the show is going to open with what to me is one of the most intriguing, because it's been such a pretty well built on TV, Dalton Castle with the boys versus the last real man of pro wrestling, Silas Young, with a great stipulation in that the boys will go to Silas Young if he wins, but if Dalton Castle wins, Silas Young has to become, well, a boy, which, anyway. So, I mean, you know what, guys? I think this has been I think all three of us have really enjoyed this on television. When it comes to picking the winner, I mean, both options are just great. I really can't. I mean, I'm going to say Dalton Castle's going to win because they're kind of building his momentum. And I think there's a lot more, I don't want to say comedy in the sense that, like, you know, playing, oh, that it's not important, but there's some fun stuff they could do with Silas Young having to be in that lackey position. Mikio, what do you think?
Like you said, either way this goes, it's going to lead to some very entertaining television. You know, it's, yeah, to see Silas have to kind of just imagine seeing him in one of those outfits that the boys that wear to the ring. It would be so humiliating to the last real man in ROH, because now there would be no man in ROH. He'd be the last real boy in ROH. It would be hysterical. But at the same token, you know, it would be funny to see him do bits with the boys and convert them to out of Dalton Castle's image and into his own image. It would be very entertaining. So either way, I think you're going to have a great, you know, a great and very entertaining outcome from it. And I think, you know, if you watch these guys on TV or you've seen them, you know, during this feud, you know that these guys are very capable of working a really good match with each other. So you know the match is going to be good, and wherever you go from here, I really think you have comedy gold written all over it. I really do.
Ari, you're lean and mean. Come on, pick Silas Young to win.
you know, this is, as Mikio said, there's good comedy on both sides. But before the comedy, I mean, this has really been a as good an undercard feud and rivalry as we expected going in. So I'm very happy to see them taking advantage of all this, as much as possible. The characters are just play off really well against each other. But to me, I think there is slightly more meat on the bone, if you will, if Silas wins here. Castle has gotten the best of him for the most part in like a straight up situation. Young did get steal a win during the multiple man match of Field of Honor, so Young hasn't really beaten Castle straight up, and I think this might be a situation where maybe he doesn't beat him straight up here, maybe he does something nefarious or illegal to win, but in a higher profile match, this could be his big win and keep the rivalry going, get the boys and instruct them on what it means to be a man, and there's a lot more, I think, that can be done there than if Silas is embarrassed or humiliated. Plus, it gives Dalton, who's a great character, really over with the fans, and, you know, but he has not had to deal with stakes yet. You know, he hasn't had to deal with, you know, the cost of losing. And so this is something that could really even add something to his character very quickly, and so that he doesn't become one-dimensional, which could happen, which it may happen with the best, even the best of comedy figures, is, you know, well, this is only the one side you've got. I think Castle can be a multi-dimensional character. He's obviously megalomania to a certain extent, but in an entertaining way. So I would love to see sort of, you know, either the fit he throws when he sees Silas training the boys to be men, or trying to do his entrance without the boys and, you know, sort of wondering where they are and turning from one side to the other. So there's a lot that can be done with Silas Young winning here. So I'm going to call Silas Young winning here.
In a no DQ match, Cedric Alexander goes up against Moose. And, because Alexander, to me, has been getting kind of the upper hand in most of this feud, I'm going to say Moose gets the big win here on pay-per-view. Ari, what do you think about that?
I think that makes sense. The wrench has sort of been the weapon ex machina here, where, you know, either Veda Scott introduces it or Cedric has it and plays it off. Moose used it to lead to Cedric Alexander losing at Field of Honor to Watanabe. So to me, I think the action's going to be really good. I think Moose will continue to show upward trajectory. And I think maybe the use of the wrench malfunctioning on Cedric Alexander will lead to his loss here. So I'm going to go with Moose winning.
Mickey, what do you think here? Think that wrench is going to play a big part of this?
Ari totally hit the nail on the head with that one. I see it happening exactly the same way that he said. So yeah, it's time for Moose to really start making the move up the chart here. So this is the time for him to win this match. Yep, totally.
In the best of five series match number three, Matt Sydal going up against ACH. Obviously, we just got the first win, you know, from the last tape. Well, it's not a taping, but event. But, you know, just kind of looking forward for this being match number three. Because Matt Sydal is going to be going to New Japan, I feel like this being on pay-per-view, they want to give him a high-profile win. So I'm going to say Sydal wins here, defeats ACH. I'm sure it's going to be a great match. Again, not entirely sure why it had to happen, but apparently these two tag team partners needed something to do. Mikio, what do you think about this?
I agree with what you're saying. I think, you know, with Sydal headed over to New Japan, he really does need to win this one. He won the first match last night, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So yeah, you figure he won the first one. You figure ACH will win the match tonight in Chicago Ridge, and then I would figure Sydal will win the third match. I think that's gonna be the way it shakes out. You know, when we talked about this last time, what you just said, Chris, is exactly what I said. It's like it just seems like they're giving two guys something to do because they had nothing else to do. But you know what? Sometimes you can get some gold out of that. You really can. When you put two guys in a ring, who both have extremely high levels of athleticism, you know they're going to put on a good match. So it's going to be something to see. But at the same time, you know, it's another match that's on the card that just because it's on the card, you know what I mean? I don't have any type of, you know, it's not going to make me run out to watch the show, but I know it'll be good.
Ari, we've talked about this before. ACH, I mean, man, we just feel like Ring of Honor has kind of dropped the ball on him. I mean, give me a reason that he should win this match.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's going to be tied up at 1-1. I think it's going to be 2-0 Sydal. Although, I guess we'll know, people listening to this will have known already whether or not I'm right or wrong. So, we'll see. But I like the idea of ACH going into his home state. I guess his hometown is San Antonio or close by, and having to fight off a potential sweep. And the story of the Dearborn match, reading the reports, was that Sydal was super aggressive against ACH, and ACH had a promo where he said, well, I guess I have to get super aggressive against Sydal. So I can see that not working tonight in Chicago Ridge and him having to dig even deeper. So maybe this is the start of something for ACH, whether it's a heel turn or sort of a new attitude or a re-emphasis on his attitude. This could be something intriguing with him. And I say the story is going to be him having to dig deep from going 2-0 and trying to win the next three matches in the series.
You've convinced me, Ari. I'm changing my pick. So that is a good story. Right. No, that really does work, though, because, you know, him being a hometown guy, I'm just saying, that is pretty good. The next match, the Open Challenge Tag Team match, the Briscoes versus, we have no idea. I'm just going to guess it's going to be Watanabe and Will Ferrara again. I mean, obviously I don't know that. It could be anyone. It could be Jado and Gato. Who knows? It could be Delirious and Watanabe? I don't know. There's really nothing here. Guys, any predictions on who the mystery tag team could be?
Well, let's just try to do the math and look at the, you know, schedule, you know, signed to appear. Could it be some version of the House of Truth?
Could it be
like Dijak and Baby Tista?
It definitely could be. Yeah.
So I mean, you know that. Yeah, the Briscoes are going over whoever they fight, so it doesn't really matter.
It could be Adam Page and someone, and Page has been feuding with Jay.
That's true. Maybe. Yeah. You could do that too. Do Adam Page and Colby Carino?
Finally, Colby Carino. Yes, he gets a win. Oh, he's not winning. That's not happening.
Well, I've been lobbying for Dalton Castle to actually take over Colby Carino and make him his boy.
That'd be a lot better at this point. I mean, God.
Absolutely. You couldn't go wrong with that. I mean, you know, at least have him teach him something, right?
There you go. Ari, hey, any...
Wait a minute. Maybe that's the story. Maybe if Dalton loses his boys, he goes and finds the next young boy on the roster and tries to turn him into his young boy.
I think Carino would prefer that over BJ Whimmer. And so would I.
You know what? I'm not quite sure.
Things would be weird.
What'd you say, Ari?
I said, you know what? I'm not quite sure about that. You might have to ask him yourself about it.
That is very true. That is true. Ari, did you have any predictions on who you think the teams could be?
The Dudley Boys.
Yes! I would totally pay to see that, the Briscoes with the Dudleys. I really would.
Okay. How about the West Texas Rednecks? It's in San Antonio. Kendall Windham and Bobby Duncombe Jr., except he's dead. Let me go back.
Yeah, you're going to have to rethink that one, Mikio.
Virgil.
Yes, Virgil in Ring of Honor.
Mike Jones.
Finally. Oh.
No, these are
that's right. You could do Virgil and Kendall Windham.
Oh, God.
Legends of WCW. Legends.
All right. On a serious note, there has been something going on, and you guys let me know what you think about this. Like the romantic touch got in sort of Jay Briscoe's way on promo on YouTube.
Yeah.
There was something going on with that at the show in Dearborn as well, although I don't quite know what. But could it be a combination of a romantic touch and some other wrestler?
Watanabe, cheeseburger.
Well, like a Lothario gimmick, and sort of have this be the start of an undercard thing for romantic touch, because he hasn't been doing too much as of late. Maybe they have an idea for him on the tag team scene. I don't know.
Maybe they can bring back a former
partner. It's not like romantic touch is any tag team experience, so let's not go crazy.
Well, when you're in love, you're never alone, my friend.
That is true.
Yes. But and again, since it is called All Star Extravaganza, and the problem with hoping that this mystery team is going to pay off to be a superstar team, is ROH doesn't really do that. If they're going to bring somebody in like a hyped up indie talent like a Trevor Lee or Andrew Everett or whoever, like they go through their system, they go through those camps and stuff. Rarely do they ever take in top independent talent and not announce them in advance. So I don't know.
Ring of Honor used to bring in the top talent,
cool surprise, but I don't.
They used to bring them in.
From time to time.
Yeah, but now all the top talent works for NXT, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
That is the problem.
Well, no, it's not all of them, because in the new number one contenders match, as we mentioned before, AJ Styles, Marzik Strong, Adam Cole, and Michael Elgin all going up to become number one contender. Guys, this is a stiff one. You kind of want to say Roderick Strong because they kind of just beat him on TV, but they want to keep him up there. AJ Styles, God knows what his schedule is going to be like. He's in high demand, obviously. He's got a big match in New Japan. Cole, like you said, Chris, maybe they're kind of building him back up to get that win. And then there's Mike Logan, who, we all know, he had a really great showing in the G1. He's going to be back in New Japan. But that reaction that we've read about and we haven't seen it yet, we'll be able to watch the VOD and kind of judge for ourselves. And this will be an interesting topic to talk about in the future. But how is Michael Elgin being reacted to by Ring of Honor fans? Has it kind of changed? I don't know.
When we were at the Field of Honor show, the reaction to him was completely muted. There was really no reaction to him.
That's really unfortunate. That's why I really can't pick him to win this match. So it's
difficult. This is a really difficult match to kind of handicap when you really get down to it. It's like, Roderick Strong has had two shots already. He had a draw and a loss. Do you really want to give him back the number one contendership? If they're going in the direction that they've been going with Cole, he's not going to win this match either. So it's like, like you said with AJ, he can't, he can have a great one-off, title match with Jay Lethal at some point down the line. But that doesn't really help set up any new storyline coming up. You know what I mean? So it's like, you would figure it has to be. It's like none of them really make sense right now.
And that leaves out Elgin, but like you guys have mentioned, kind of a tepid response. And that's if I'm booking it, I don't know if I.
Well, I do want to set the record straight. Yes, coming out definitely a tepid response, but I think that those fans really got into the match with Goto as it went along. It got a really strong response at the end. But that's the problem.
It was only the last three minutes of the match that got that response. The other 15 minutes were like people were just like kind of looking at themselves, and it's like it's really unfortunate because it was a really good match, and honestly, guys, Elgin hasn't been getting that response he deserves in a long time, and he does deserve it.
This could be that opportunity for him to do that, to get back to where he was here. I think a strong performance here will do that.
And it's like I said, he really does deserve it because he works so hard and he's so sharp with his stuff, and he's really good. He's really good.
So we are all saying here that if he has a strong showing, he gets a win and a really good ending sequence, the fans might embrace him again, like they did at
Wing. I would hope so, man. I really would, because he does deserve it. He really does.
All right, well, let's go. Team Elgin, let's do this.
I think, I don't know if you guys have heard the rumors of Elgin getting the title shot against Lethal in Japan in February of 2016.
I have, yes.
A win here, and it's still 6 or 7 months away to give him that shot. So, I mean, you could give him the shot now, or, you know, give him that opportunity and have him cash it in later. But to me, it really comes down to giving it to Adam Cole and having him challenge a final battle against Lethal or O'Reilly, winner of that match, or AJ Styles in a straight up, you know, sort of AJ Styles is the best wrestler on the planet, former IWGP champion, and now he's going to put Jay Lethal, double champion, to the test. And if you think about it, I don't know if you guys remember, but Lethal may have been his first match back, or if it was Roderick Strong, first or second match back, they wrestled at 12th anniversary show. So it may not have been his first match back, but it was an early match when AJ Styles had just come back to ROH. So it could be an interesting little role reversal there. So I'm going to call AJ Styles winning, actually.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, you know they'll put on a good – you know when they get a match at some point down the line in some show, it's going to be a good match. You can't go wrong with any of these four guys. You just can't.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record and say it's going to be the second best match on the show.
There you go. The Ring of Honor World Tag Titles are on the line. The Addiction, the champions go up against the Kingdom versus the Young Bucks in a triple threat. It's going to be a fun match. I don't know. I'm not really predicting a title change here, though I'm not. You know what? I'm just going to say the Addiction retain. Because I maybe the Kingdom get here, but I don't. It is on pay-per-view. You kind of have to factor that in. I don't see the Young Bucks really winning them. Again, because they should be having kind of a more of a full schedule somewhere else. But, I don't know. Ari, what do you think about this? Do you see a title change here?
Yes. But first of all, I want to say that you put Red Dragon and Young Bucks in the ring in any kind of combination, and it's golden. I mean, in ROH, in New Japan, impromptu main event, this is sort of like, you know, It's like getting a really good, like a really awesome sandwich. And you know you're going to get a good, awesome sandwich from a place you love all the time. So just order it off the menu all the time. So, yeah, I think, you know, you add in the Kingdom there. They're there to be antagonists and kind of stir the pot. I'm sorry, it's the Addiction, not the Young Bucks. So I take that all back.
You mean it's the Addiction, not Red Dragon?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Addiction and the Young Bucks, like I said, they had a good... Yeah, you're right. I take it back. I had a brain fart. I was thinking about the match last year. all right, so I changed my prediction. Shocker, Kingdom wins.
That's good. I can see that. Mikio, what do you think?
Yes, they steal the titles. Yes, fails.
I have a sneaking suspicion that the titles are going to change hands also. I would love for it to be the Bucks winning, but it's going to be the Kingdom. The Kingdom's taking those titles. And that even furthers the idea that when Cole loses the number one contenders match and the Kingdom have won on that match, that it's like the Kingdom are winners even more so now that Adam Cole's really not with them anymore. So that furthers that whole angle that they've been playing, that it's always been Cole's issue, not the Kingdom's issue. So now the Kingdom's back on top. Now they can really kind of take their antagonistic attitude towards Cole to a whole nother level. Like, hey, look, you're not we don't hang out with you anymore. We're champions again. What are you? You're just a loser. So it can set Cole up for like a run leading up to Final Battle, where he's fighting both Bennett and Taven in individual matches, and then maybe it culminates, you know, down the line at Final Battle, maybe with a tag team match with him teaming with O'Reilly. And then maybe you have a swerve or something like that. But I definitely think that you know, Ari's onto something with saying the Kingdom's going to win this match.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking the same thing in regards to the next two title matches, in the sense that, so I'm predicting Bobby Fish wins the TV title, Kyle O'Reilly doesn't win the world title, and then you have Adam Cole and O'Reilly not necessarily teaming up a lot, but, you know, the whole new Red Dragon thing is that Kyle O'Reilly is going to help Cole get revenge on the Kingdom. And, yeah, I guess if the Kingdom were tag team champions, that kind of...
Yep.
Furthers their I mean, but they're going to be a tag team anyway. It's not like they're splitting up anytime soon.
Yep. Technically, it's called Adam Cole and Red Dragon Bay. That's the name.
I thought it was New Red Dragon. I thought that was the hashtag. Is that not?
That's an awful name. You don't put new in front of anything.
The new Fantastic Four
better than the Fantastic Four? I don't think so.
It's Red Dragon 2.0, baby.
Wow. But anyway, yeah, so the TV title match, I am predicting a title change here. I mean, I can see why there are arguments against that, just because you kind of do want to keep Jay Lethal strong, but I feel like there's more out of it to have the Bobby Fish be the TV champion, have good matches with a lot of people, rather than Jay Lethal continuing to have to defend against both. I mean, let's be honest, you know, he's no Seth Rollins as a double champion, okay? Let's just get that out there. Mickey, what do you think about that? What were you going to say?
No, I said yes, he's better than Seth Rollins as double champion.
Ouch.
Well, he's been booked in a better way than Seth Rollins has been.
Mm-hmm. They should make a statue for Jay Lethal.
I don't know if this is going to be so controversial, but Seth Rollins, man, is so much. You might yell at me, but he's so much better than Jay Lethal. It hurts.
He's good, man. Yeah,
Not that Jay Lethal is bad. Not that he's way below Seth Rollins. He's just, you know, every time I hate to go off on a tangent towards WWE stuff, but he's like the only segment I really watch consistently when I watch WWE programming. He has gotten so goddamn good. You think back at like any of the knocks that were against him when he was in ROH, he has fixed almost everything, and it's amazing to see how he's transitioned. It's really great. It really makes you feel good about, you know, how, and it works well for some guys. It really does. But as far as the two title matches,
who could have believed that? Sorry, Mikhail. Who could have believed that Seth Rollins is like they center the WWE around him for right now? It's amazing.
It is. It's great. It's really, and it's like, you know, you think back, and it's like, I know we're going on a tangent here before we get to the two main event, kind of the two main matches. But you think about all the things that WWE is doing with the ROH alumni that we've come to love so much and hold dear so over the years. It's amazing. I mean, it's like I got an email yesterday from the WWE shop that they're doing a specials T-shirt for Owens for his homecoming match in Montreal. I mean, it's like, holy crap. I mean, they're doing a special Montreal T-shirt for Kevin Steen. Who would have thought this be possible? You know what I mean? It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's like to see those guys get the success they have in WWE right now, maybe they don't win all the time, but you know the crowd is into all of those ROH alumni guys more than anybody else on those programs. And then it's like you look at what ROH... You look what ROH is doing at the same time, and ROH is hitting on all cylinders, and you're like, holy shit, this is a great time to have a connection to ROH and to be a long-term fan of ROH, that you get to see the guys you liked 3 or 4 years ago in an ROH ring excel someplace else, and then you turn on ROH and you get lightning every time they run a show. It's great for ROH people. It really is. And I think, you know, I think Lethal, even though I'm not the hugest fan of his, I think, you know, the more I watch him, the more I realize how great a job he actually is doing in this run as the heel. He is so, so good at what he's doing right now. We've all said it 1,000 times. We hate the Lethal Injection as a finisher, but you know what? He's just on another level right now. He's never been this good in his whole career.
Yeah, but it's still a terrible finish. It still sucks.
It is a terrible finish. Absolutely. It's the worst finish.
He's got to change it. It's so stupid looking.
He needs to have something cool. He does so many other cool moves. He needs to come up with something new and cool. And I'm sure he will at some point.
Bring back gonorrhea or something, man. Like, come on. It's this jumping springboard into it. And you see the guy standing there waiting to take it.
Right. It's so contrived. But, you know, listen, I agree with what, you know, I think he's going to drop the TV title to Fish. I really do. And I think he's going to retain over O'Reilly. But that match is going to be rife with chicanery. You know it will be. Because after he loses the TV title, the House of Truth is not going to let him drop the second belt in the same night. It's just not going to happen.
Actually, I just realized, do you guys think that they may open the show with a TV title match? They're not going to make Lethal wrestle back-to-back, are they?
It'll probably be within the first, like, 3 matches of the show, and then it'll be the last match. Because it's an 8 matches on the card?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think maybe it'll be the second match.
Yeah, it is.
And then, it's
eight.
And then the main event.
All right, what do you think? Come on, break this tie. Just say Bobby Fish loses.
Well, first of all, going back to the Kevin Owens getting his own Montreal shirt, just don't let Earl Hebner anywhere near it.
Wow.
Because, you know, but that works two ways. I'll let you think about how that works two ways.
Right?
Yes, sir. And Jay Lethal, I think they should start selling his pork pie hat or his haberdashery hat, whatever it is that he's got. Because, you know, they could make it just like they need the Dalton Castle fan. ROH needs to, like, mass produce these Jay Lethal hats because he makes that shit look cool. That's some fashionable stuff right there.
It is.
Yeah. I've always maintained from the start that they had put Fish and O'Reilly over Lethal, or O'Reilly had drawn with Lethal and pinned him at the Las Vegas show, so that on this show Lethal goes over them. This is the first time he's really defending both belts on one night, and I think ROH has been heading towards having at least one event where Lethal successfully defends the title. Both titles in one night. So yes, I think I think Lethal retains both the TV title and the world title here. I just don't see Fish as the TV champion. I think O'Reilly is a future world champion, but I don't think he'll have his day today. Maybe in 2016 sometime. But I think the storyline is going to be interesting because I think even though Fish isn't going to win, I think he's going to do the submission storyline is going to be interesting because Fish's big attacks are on the legs, and O'Reilly's big submission is the armbar. So it's going to be interesting to see Lethal sell, hopefully majorly, for Fish's attacks and maybe sell a leg injury going in, and then O'Reilly trying to attack that and maybe transition to the arm work once he sees the opening there. It could be very cool psychology-wise. I agree with McGill. There's definitely going to be House of Truth interference, so I'm sure that's going to be the chagrin of a lot of people, but I think it's going to be there's going to be a lot of hope spots for both of these guys before we get to Lethal winning, but Lethal is winning both of these matches.
And just to kind of finish it out, any wild predictions for the end of the pay-per-view? I know that they really haven't done it lately, and sometimes they kind of hold it for like the final battle or best in the world, but any... Do you think there's any big returns, anything shocking at the end of this pay-per-view?
I don't. I just think they're going with what they got. I don't think they need to. I think if they book that main event right, having a fade to black with, let's say, you know, O'Reilly and Fish hunched over in the corner, you know, like, you know, maybe, you know, if they both do lose, having them hunched over in the corner consoling each other while Jay Lethal just stands triumphant in the middle of the ring, I don't think you need to bring anybody back for that.
I don't think we're going to get any we're not going to get any special surprises unless it's a tag team in the Briscoes match. But I do think the pay-per-view ends with whoever wins the number one contendership match of those four, Cole, Strong, Styles, or Elgin confronting Jay Lethal either on the ramp or in the ring and sort of setting that up as the next program for the next couple months.
All right, well, I'm finishing out with Low-Key returning, so we're just going to go there.
You always do.
At some point, it's going to happen, man. Hey, I was right about Briscoe winning the title twice, okay? I'm on a roll, kind of, not really.
Chris, I just got an update. It's the Outcast Killers coming back to face the Briscoes tomorrow night, or next Friday night.
Damn it, I was really hoping for the Christopher Street connection. It's terrible.
No, I heard they're booked already.
They're probably booked on some other show with Brian XL or something. I don't know. So night two, we have Jay Briscoe versus... I know, right? No holds barred match, Jay Briscoe versus Adam Page. I mean, can any of us say that Page is going to win? I mean, maybe, because you could have the entire decade come in and attack Jay Briscoe at the beginning of the match, because that's what should happen, but that somehow never happens in wrestling.
You mean the decade of one?
Hey, man, Whitmer could hit him with the whatever, the crutches, I mean, and... Carino could just kind of trip Jay Briscoe up. I don't know. It's no holds barred. Why aren't they all beating him up at the beginning? Makes no sense.
Maybe they will. Yeah. The match hasn't happened yet, Jesse. Why are you complaining about it?
Because I'm a wrestling fan. That's what
Wait
we do.
Wait until after the match.
I thought that's what we do.
No, we should be better.
Chris is a true Ring of Honor fan. He complains about everything before it even happens.
I was going to say, isn't that what we do? Is that not what we're doing anymore?
Oh.
Let's stay positive, fellas.
Well, I'm positive about this. Watanabe is getting a world TV title shot against, according to some of us, Jay Lethal, and according to some of us, Bobby Fish. So, yay, Watanabe on a non-pay-per-view show. Have they announced that these are like TV tapings? Like, you know, like actual episodic
TV? They are TV.
Okay. So we will have the results for those. And obviously, spoilers, we'll talk about them later. Guys, I think that's pretty much it, unless there's anything else that we missed.
No, I think we covered everything.
All right, amazing. So yeah, why don't we get some plugs going? Ari, I'll go to you first.
Twitter.com/AriBernstein, or type Colin LaMonter in the Twitter search bar, and I should show up right there. That's pretty much it. Short and sweet. Lean and mean.
There you go, Mickey. What do you have going on, man?
I'll pick up the slack for Ari. If you want to catch me on Twitter, I'm at Chris_Miccio, MICCIO. Also, if you're in the New York City area, coming up October 2nd, Tier 1 Wrestling, holding a big show here in New York City. I think they officially announced the main event this week. Is that correct, Chris?
Yes, Tim Donst versus Luke Hawks.
That should be an interesting affair. So if you are in the New York City area, go out and support the next big promotion here in New York City. They run a great show. The people who put the show together work their ass off to give you the best entertainment that you can get for a quality price. So I would really suggest you head out and see that. The Bravado Brothers making a triumphant return back to New York City. Haven't been here in quite a while, you know, at least at a show that I've been at. And I can't wait to get a chance to see them up close and personal again. So that's Tier 1 Wrestling. Also, if you are in the Las Vegas area, where I'm going to be next weekend, go check out the Las Vegas Fight Shop. They're on Twitter also, at LV Fight Shop. And if you love wrestling, you love MMA, they have all the stuff that you're looking for. So please, if you get the chance and you're in the Las Vegas area, go check them out. Otherwise, you know, I'm so upset that I can't sit and actually watch this pay-per-view with Ari, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
When you're watching the pay-per-view? Oh, right.
I'll be on a flight. Over the
you guys
Midwest
can Skype, okay? State. You can watch together and be on Skype. You know that we have technology now.
Well, I don't know what the kind of.
I love Mickey, like he's my brother. But I'm gonna let him have this one.
Put our pay-per-view on an aircraft, Chris.
Are you saying you can't? What kind of airplanes are you riding on?
They have like live pay-per-view.
I have no idea. Probably not.
No, they only have movies, man. Come on.
Good movies, though, from what I hear. Really good.
You know, listen, I finally decided to figure out how to you know, get the ultraviolet, like, movies that I have earned over the years on Blu-rays to actually get them on my iPad, and I did a bunch of that last night, so I'll be able to watch my own kind of films, not the crap that they want to give me on the airplane.
There you go. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Check us out. As always, leave a 4 or 5-star review on Stitcher or on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Use our High Spots links. Go buy all the stuff from High Spots. Again, you can actually buy Tier 1 Wrestling, their debut show, from High Spots right now. You can also check out Ring of Honor Year 5. The entire disc set is over at High Spots as well. All the joint shows with New Japan are up there as well. And then, hey, you know, buy this other show called Bola. You know, I heard it was pretty good. So go check that out. PWPonies.com/highspots helps this website and helps everything we have keep going. All right, guys.
High Spots rock, baby.
It really does. So thanks again, guys, and we'll talk to you again real soon.